Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Man, how many of you know we are sacrificing so much of our life, so much of the potential that God has for each one of us? We're sacrificing in our marriages. We are sacrificing with our kids and family. We're sacrificing with God's church and our callings of God. And where are we sacrificing this to? It's all at the large altar of excuses. Got quiet in here now. And I think right now we have reached in America an epidemic proportion of excuses. Well, this is why my marriage is failing. Well, this is why I can't keep a job. Well, this is why I can't get ahead. Well, it's always some excuse, and you know what? It's always somebody else's fault. Come on now. The churches aren't filled up because. The power of God's not moving across our nation because. And we've got our excuses. And we blame it on other people. I love the quote by director Gene Kraus of the NASA back on the Apollo mission. Y'all remember the Apollo 13 moon landing mission? It got in trouble and it looked like we were going to lose not only the astronauts but every technology we had. And he went into his team and they said, "We don't know, we can't see any way around it." And he looked at them and he said, "Listen to me, failure is not an option." Do you know that ought to be the church's motto? Yeah. Failure's not an option in the kingdom of God. Amen. Failure is not an option for a church. Failure's not an option for your marriage. Failure's not an option for your kids. Failure is not an option for the vision God has for his church and your life and your marriage and your family. Not an option. Will it be an option if you let it? Absolutely. Everywhere we turn, there's the option to fail due to an excuse. Oh, we're going to talk about this a little bit today, so buckle up. Amen? And when that same director of NASA went to him, he also said this right here. He says, "I don't want to hear another person say why we can't do something. All I want to hear is why we can." Because see, you got to stop the can't before you ever think you can. As long as your mindset is looking at the impossibilities, and it did look impossible. The impossibilities was on the wall. The possibilities was coming into their ear. The impossibilities looked into engineering. No way. But he wouldn't let them have that way. He drove them. "I don't want to hear another person say we can't get them home alive. All I want to hear is to say, hey, let's try this. What can we do?" And so many people in our generation, in our time of on earth, especially in America, it's all about what we can't do. And that's just a load, y'all. And my wife's in here, so I'm not going to say a load of crap. You're welcome, baby. Aren't you glad some people didn't have excuses in their life? Every invention known to man right now, what you're sitting on, the Mr. Carrier that invented air conditioning, thank God for him. Let's stop a moment and say thank you for that man. Mr. Carrier years ago. But you know what? It didn't happen on the first time. Every inventor, the light bulb, everything, the electricity, the seats you're sitting on, thank God for them. Thank God somebody figured out a formula for foam cushions. I know, amen. Our rump celebrates that today in Jesus' name. Amen? But what are inventors and visionaries? They are people who refuse to let failure be an excuse to stop them. Because nobody ever invented something on the first try that I know of. It failed, and they could have said, "Well, see, it don't work, and I didn't have good enough, and I don't have enough money, and I don't have enough support." No, they kept going. Why? Because they had a vision and a dream. They had something in them that mattered more than their excuses. And when failure even come, they failed and failed and failed. They didn't allow that to become their lifestyle and their excuses. They had a vision and a dream, and thank God for all the people who invent and the things we have in comfort. Again, I'm very thankful for Mr. Carrier. And I've always told people in our nation, in America, if you want it, you can get it. Nothing is going to hinder you from getting what you want in America if you want it bad enough. But you will never have what you truly want as long as you got an excuse. You'll never have it. Never, never, never. So you got to think, what matters most is what you really have. Because that's where you're pouring your time, your energy, your finances into. Come on. And anything else, you may want more, but you're limited by your excuses so many times. Because excuses, again, I believe it's an epidemic. I mean, I believe it's reached epidemic proportion in America because we got an excuse for everything. Yeah. I've done it. Let's do it. All I got to do is get in the mirror to get this message because I've had my excuses. When God called me to be a pastor, I told him, I said, I give him a whole list of why I didn't qualify, and they were viable. I had every excuse in the book why not to be a pastor. I didn't know enough. I hadn't been trained. I hadn't been to seminary. Seminary, whatever they call that. Cemetery, same thing. It produces a lot of deadness, but anyway. And I didn't know all 66 books of the Bible. I would have looked at me and said, he's right. He don't need to be one. But the callings of God are without repentance. On God's side especially. And you know what also the callings of God are out with our, on our side? Excuses. Amen. And when I finally ran out of myself and ran out of my excuses, I had to say yes. And it's been the best thing I've ever done, is say yes over my excuses. And they're still real today. I mean, I'm still amazed. Now, I'm fixing to take you through a list. So get your cameras ready. You probably ain't going to be able to write them fast enough of notes today. Some one-liners, some very powerful statements. But go ahead and put the first one up. I want you to understand, excuses are strongholds in about everybody's life that I know, especially in America. They really are. You think, well, it's an excuse, and it's a stronghold. And a stronghold is something that wants to hold you back. Okay? And if you look into 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says this, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. In other words, they're not, it shouldn't be the way we think. Carnal is your flesh. Carnal is a way of thinking. Carnal includes your mind, your will, and your emotion. It's out of your soulish realm. So never should we base our weapons of warfare in our minds. Should only come from the Spirit of God. Watch this now. For they are not in the carnal, but mighty in God. Spiritual. For pulling down what? Strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. We need to take those strongholds into the Spirit of God, pull them down. Now your flesh will justify them through your excuses. How many of us right now are living with strongholds in our life and we justify them with our excuses? Because our excuses look pliable, they look good, and they sound good, especially to us. And if we can get somebody else to buy in and give us a little bit of a pity party and go, man, I know what you're going through, bless your heart, even better. Even better. The word stronghold means this right here in the Greek. It means to fortify. It means to hold fast. It means fortification, a fortress. And what have we done in the American church today and lives as Christians? We have fortified our excuses and solidified them in our life, that we've built them into this fortress against the truth and against some of the things I'm fixing to point out to you here. We're holding fast to our excuses because that's all we've got. Because if we don't have our excuses, dear God, we would have to produce something. We would actually have to act and to probably go to work at something. And not give up and not be in pity and not be in depression and oppression. And God forbid that. It's quiet in here this morning. We've made excuses our strongholds, our fortress, what we hold to faster than anything. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, let's reverse the curse. I'm serious. I believe it's a curse. I know it's a curse. It's a curse. of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Excuses is a curse. The Lord revealed to me years ago when I had excuses, and I was giving him some more excuses about some other things in my life going on. And again, very good ones. Top-rated excuses. Excuses that had truth backing them up. I'm not ready. I'm not qualified. I just don't feel like, you know, somebody else can do a lot better. All truth backing up my excuses. And God gave me a vision of a circle with two lines drawn like this, and then a little bitty circle in the middle called a bullseye. And I said, "What is that, Lord?" He said, "It's where I want you to put your excuses. I want you to put your excuses in the bull eyes, and I want you to kill them because they're getting in my way." And so you know what I did? I did what the Lord said. Bought another gun. My wife was thrilled. I said, "Baby, it's the Lord told me to. So guys, here you go. Pay attention." But an excuse, listen to me now, this is what the Holy Spirit told me. An excuse is nothing more. Now listen, this is very spiritual. An excuse is the Spirit of the living God letting you know what you need to kill out of your life where God's plan can come in your life. Woo! I was at my first church. That church had been established since 1824. Guys, that's a long time. And they had always been just a country church out in the middle of nowhere. I didn't have a little small country church mentality. I never have. Now, I don't care what the numbers are, but I'm going to preach, live like God's big. And I didn't see myself going in, and it's all, they've never had a full-time pastor. It's always been a working bivocational pastor, which bivocation is just a cheap word for part-time pay for full-time job. Come on. But I didn't have a part-time vision. I didn't serve a part-time God. I didn't know what the pay was, y'all. I didn't even ask what the pay was. I just knew if I said yes to God, I was going to give him everything I had. Whether I got a check or whether I didn't get a check. Didn't matter. I didn't want that to be an excuse for me not to produce the will of God. So what did it mean? It mean I had to work extremely hard at my regular job. I was working 50 hours a week at my regular job. And what I was doing, you were pregnant with our second child. And we got four of them. We can't get them mixed up. Second child. I was trying to exercise, and I was playing in a Christian band on Friday and Saturday night. Now, let me tell you back then. I had to teach a Sunday school class right out of the gate. We had this thing on Sunday mornings where you gathered up everybody right before Sunday school. You had to have a devotion. So I had to prepare that. Now, I did throw a snake at them one Sunday, just a fake snake. Oh, it was hilarious. I had one of them big wooden pulpits, you know, because it's Baptist. You know, they got them big wooden pulpits. And I laid a rubber snake in there. And these people sat there like they were just dead already. I'm like, I'm going to check the spirit today. So I got about, it's just like a little 10-minute devotion. Then we would break off and go to our Sunday school classes. And I had that rubber snake under there. And I'm like, you know, today's the day. I had it in there a couple of weeks waiting on the time. I had it covered up with some songbooks and stuff and hymnals. And I thought, you know, and they're sitting there like, they could care less if they were there. And I thought, okay, today's the day. I felt the Spirit say, yes, throw the snake. I said, I hear and obey, Lord. I grabbed that rubber snake and I said, when the Spirit gets on it, can you feel it? Can y'all feel it? And I threw that snake on the front row. Foosh, cleared them out like a hotcakes. I had a lot of fun with it. But then I'd do that and then I'd go teach a Sunday school class. And then I'd leave Sunday school class about 5 minutes early because I could go get with the worship team and play music because I had to set in on the band back then because we didn't have nobody else. And then I would do the whole worship set, and then I'd have to come out and do all the preaching. And then we did Sunday night meetings before church, so I'd have to do a Sunday night meeting before church, and then I'd do Sunday night service. And then we did Tuesday night was visitation night, which we used to do that. And then I had to do Wednesday night service. So I was actually preparing about 4 to 5 messages a week while working 50 hours, playing in the band Friday, Saturday night, getting ready to have a, but you know what? I counted as joy. You know what I never used? I never used an excuse. Because a vision of God doesn't need any excuses. It needed my work. And I had to step up if you want the vision to come true. And I can tell you this, it wasn't because of me, it was because of the people responded in our church grew. And again, this is not about me, this is about God. Let me just show you what God does. A church that had been established since 1824, never had a full-time pastor, and I became the first full-time pastor ever there. Not because of what I'd done, but because there were no excuses. Because I didn't have a vision of part-time. I didn't have a vision, even if I was part-time. I didn't have a part-time vision with part-time title. So I don't want you to ever have a part-time vision for your marriage, for your life, for your kids, for your church, for the callings that God has on you. Because when you have a part-time vision, you will have full-time excuses that'll keep you in bondage and keep God's plan in bondage. That's the most important thing, to keep God's plan in bondage. So everybody say, let's reverse the curse. So go ahead and put up the next note. Get your cameras ready. Where there's a will, there's a way. This is America, baby. If you will stick to the will of God and press in against opposition, press in against criticism, press in against letdowns, press in against failure, I promise you there's a way. And He is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So if He says He's a way, then there's a way to your vision, if it's God's vision. Next note. Where there are excuses, you never will see maximum potential. You'll always see that part-time vision. You'll have that part-time marriage. You'll raise part-time kids. You'll be a part-time Christian. We just finished a whole series on Wednesday night called Christian Atheists. People who believe in God but act like He's not alive in their life. Come on. You don't know why? Because they got excuses. It's quiet in here. Here's probably one of my favorite ones. Next one. You can have your excuses or you can have results, but you'll never have both of them. You'll never produce results as long as you've got excuses. And as long as you've got excuses, you'll never see results like you want. Or excuse me, like God wants. Always the excuse. Now, who do you think is the provider of your excuses? Let's get real. Even though they're good. Even sometimes they got a lot of truth behind them. If they're standing in the way of your calling with God, your marriage, your family, your faith, your country, and you got an excuse, it ain't Jesus putting it there, honey. Amen. I promise you, it's the devil. The devil is the author of excuses because excuses cause confusion. Right. Excuses always cause confusion to the vision. Ooh, this next one's good too. The Lord gave me this one. The last two I stole. I have a book, but this one's mine. Well, it's the Holy Spirit's, but go ahead and put it up. We have excuses because we don't want to sacrifice anything. I can already feel the tension in the room when I said that. I'm already sacrificing. Bless your little heart. Yay for you. May the Lord notice it and promote you. But if you're sacrificing and still using excuses, they don't go together. Those two are, they don't go together. I'm sacrificing, but I've got excuses. Okay, enjoy that. Amen? We don't sacrifice. We don't want to sacrifice anymore. If you go overseas and look at the way they have to do church and sometimes the way they have to get to church, I can tell you the American church would be dead in most third world countries. Because we would have an excuse, I don't want to walk to church today. It's 110 degrees. I don't want to get outside and walk to see God's house today. It flooded and the mud came and the flash flood came and our church is this deep in water. I don't want to stand in water and worship God. But yet, most of these people will do whatever it takes to get to church and to get to doing the Lord's will over there. If it's not convenient for us and comfortable, wow, we got an excuse not to go or participate. First sign of your marriage not getting exactly the way you thought it would be, an excuse to leave, an excuse to misbehave. The first sign of you not getting what you want or what you think or thankful enough or whatever, first time for you to start complaining. Yeah. Come on. Guys, I'm preaching y'all some truth that sets you free if you get a hold of it. Amen. But if you got an excuse already, you mad at me? Amen. Just know this, I forgive you. See, the Bible doesn't say I can do some things. Amen. Bible doesn't say that. He says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But excuses takes the strength of Christ away from me and allows me to try to operate it in my own power. And when it doesn't happen in my time frame, then I got an excuse to whine and complain. I didn't have a time frame when I was at my first church of being full-time. Didn't know if it happened at all, but I didn't have the mentality. I had the mentality, I'm going to treat this like it's full-time because there is no part-time God. Amen. And lo and behold, it did. Like I said, it became full-time my last 3 or 4 years there until I came here. I can't tell you what you're robbing yourself. Oh, but I'm going to have to work harder. See, when you lose the excuse, the time you spend with your excuses and complaining, if you would work during that time, you would probably be ahead. Amen. Oh, God, that was good. Somebody write that down, send it to me. The next note, I got to get through this quickly today. Excuses are tied to pride and lies. That's the root foundation of excuses is your pride and your lying to yourself. Now watch this. And the result of the following, it's a lack of effort, it's a lack of work, and it's a lack of vision. And let me tell you something, the excuse people, they get mad at that statement. You want to know why? Because I used to. When I had my, I'm like, I'm working myself to death. I don't know what else more I can do. Well, you know what I can do? I can shut my mouth complaining and get in God's word and encourage myself in the Lord, worship a little harder, seek God a little more, spend more time in the word. And guess what? I started getting vision, more vision and plan of how to make it happen. It's amazing. God started sending people to help. It's amazing what you can do when you shut your mouth. It's amazing. Gives God a chance to work. The next one kind of goes along with it. Excuses will always show up due to your lack of your faith, your work, and your creativity. And then this last one. Excuses is nothing more than self-justification for your will and not God's will. Let that settle in. Excuses are when I want my will out of this because it's too much work. I don't want to put the effort in. I feel like I'm already doing 10 times more than anybody else or whatever. Excuses, self-justification for my will, not your will, God. Whew. I love y'all so much, I'm preaching this to y'all today. Everybody say excuses. Luke chapter 14, verse 15 through 24. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him, talking about Jesus, heard these things, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." That's something good to say to the Lord. Blessed is we when we eat bread in the kingdom of God, Lord. How about that? Aren't you impressed with what I told you? Sounded biblical. Verse 16, then Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.'" And then verse 19, or whichever one it is, I can't see that good. "But they all," the ones that were invited, "in one accord began to make" what? Excuse. They made what? Excuse. What did they make, church? Excuse. They made excuses. Now here they are. Hasn't changed much. The first one said to him, "Oh, I've bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it and ask you to have me" what? Excused. Verse 19. And another said, "Oh, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them out. I have to ask you to be me to be" what? Excused. And still another one said, "Man, I just got married. I've married a wife." That's a good thing. "And therefore I cannot come." Verse 21, "So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, what? Then the master of the house, being what? Angry. Why? He's not angry at them. He's angry at the excuses they got. He has told them it's time. He has given them a word. He's given them a word of God. Come on, it's time right now. Let's go. "Oh, I can't because. Well, I need to be excused because not your will be done, my will right now." Quiet in here. "Then the master of the house, being angry," there it is, "said to his servant," next verse, Go out quickly into the streets and to the lanes of the city and bring in here, now watch this, the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Next verse. And the servant said, Master, it's done. So he went and done it. He didn't have an excuse. He went out and done the assignment, got the poor, the lame, the blind to come in, filled up as much as they could with that. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you've commanded, and there's still room. Now stop right there just a moment. There's always room at the table. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. He was going after the people that he had first invited. They wouldn't come in, so he went to the streets and compelled them to come in that his house could be full. Amen? That tells you he don't care if you're rich or poor, the table's open. But he's not going to make you come on. As long as you've got an excuse, you're never going to have the full will of God imposed upon you. Next verse. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That, say it with me, my house may be filled. If you're sick and you're shut in, if you're vacationing today, whatever your thing is, you couldn't be here, you couldn't be in your church today, that's great. If you're sitting at home because you're one of them that, well, we don't need the church, church is not relevant, how come he said, don't go to your house, he said, come to my house. Go out, compel them to come. Not that my house where I live at can be filled. Now, I believe in life groups as a part of a church. But when a life group becomes your church, it's not a church. Amen. He said, I want you in my house, that my house can be filled, not your house. Amen? Amen. Now, that's not all I got to say about that. Y'all okay? Yeah. One more verse. For I say to you that none of these men who were invited shall now taste my supper. And the only thing that kept them away was their excuses. Yeah. It wasn't that they didn't get the invitation and it wasn't ready and prepared with their name on it. You've got a spot reserved for you in God's kingdom in heaven, and you've also got a spot on earth with your name on it, with his glory, with his anointing, his outpourings, his power, his spirit, his word. But if you got excuses, you're never going to get it. You see how excuses doesn't just rob you, it robs God from what God wants to do with you, in you, to you, through you, your marriage, your family, your church, your job, whatever, anything in life you're dealing with, God's got a plan for you. And here's the most awful thing about excuses in America today. We don't have any conviction or condemnation about our excuses anymore. We're proud of our excuses. We tell them to everybody. And we try to get people to pity us because of our excuses. And we thrive in it when they do, and when they jump on our side and say, oh, I know, honey, you just bless your heart. I don't know why everybody expects so much out of you. I hope y'all come back next week. I'm not trying to run nobody off. I'm trying to run the devil out of your life. And as long as you've got an excuse for him to be there, he'll stay. He's a robber. He's a thief. Steal, kill, and destroy. And when you give him an excuse, he just lays right into you. No spiritual conviction over our excuses anymore. Because our excuses now have taken the place of the Holy Spirit. And they're all, listen to me now, comes out of self-justification. That's where it begins. Now, other people come along with you and justify it. You don't know why? Because they got excuses too. Excuse people love to get together and wallow in each other's excuses and misery and back each other up. It's where you get your justification. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. This is Jesus Christ speaking the word here. He says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but you lose your soul? You had no vision. You perished. You had vision, but you also had excuses, which kills the vision. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me tell you what a man will give in exchange for his soul. He'll give you an excuse. It's It's exactly what he'll give you. This is the reason I can't love my spouse properly. This is the reason the kids get on my nerves. This is the reason I don't work hard at my job. They're not giving me enough promotion. They're not giving me enough money. They're not honoring me enough. This is the reason my marriage is falling apart. It's all her. It's all him. Always an excuse. This is the reason I don't witness. I don't feel comfortable. Always an excuse. I'm going to take real quickly here and go over the last two excuses. The two most common excuses we hear about God. We've covered a lot, but I want to get back to this. I hear this one all the time. I don't understand everything in the Bible. Raise your hand if you've ever said that, and I'm going with mine up. Because that's one of the ones I told God, I don't know the Bible. And you know what? Listen to me now. I'm 56 years old. I got born again when I was 16. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in my early 20s. I've been studying the Word of God ever since, and I still don't understand everything in the Bible. I still have to seek His wisdom, His knowledge, and His Spirit. And every time I read it, it don't matter if I've read it one time or 20 times. Usually if I'm into it, I get something brand new every time. Amazing! Word of God. I don't understand the Bible enough. Jesus never said to come to Him through understanding alone. He said, if you come to me, I want you to come to me by faith in me. Because if you'll walk in faith, He'll give the understanding. You don't try to understand something and call it faith. Faith means I don't understand, but I believe. I don't understand how air works in my lungs, but I believe I've got it this morning. I don't understand what I ate yesterday, how it goes throughout my body, brings nutrition, gets in my... I don't understand none of that, but I'm going to eat. There's lots of things you don't understand, and you don't make excuses for those. As a man, I don't understand my wife. But I love her unconditionally. I believe and know God put us together, we're one. But I don't understand women. I can't, because I'm not a woman. I know what I am. I'm a man. I'm not confused. I know exactly what I am. So I don't understand the Bible. Well, you don't have to understand, but you got to walk in faith. And as you walk in faith, He'll bring the understanding. I'm not smart enough. That's the second one. I'm not smart enough. Do you know that the disciples were a bunch of messed up people? My gosh, what a bunch of Looney Tunes that was. They all abandoned God in His hour of need. One of them was a betrayer. The only really educated one was Matthew, and he was an IRS agent. But listen to me today. So Jesus took these men who were unlearned and uneducated, and there are scholars and doctrines and theologists who are still studying the wisdom and knowledge God gave them. Yes, thousands of years, people still study and marvel at the wisdom and the knowledge that God, through His Spirit, poured into uneducated and unlearned men. So that blowed that excuse back to the pits of hell. I don't know everything about everything in the Bible, but I know Jesus. He's my Lord and my Savior. Amen? How about over here? Anybody got a Lord and Savior that you don't understand everything, but He's God? What about this section here? How about y'all right here? Can I get anybody over here to get a witness? Absolutely. I don't understand how God could love me when I mess up so many times. But I believe and know that He does by faith. And I love Him by faith. Hallelujah. Let me give you one verse to go along with that. Then we're going to give you one more verse to get out of here on. James chapter 1. Now watch this. If any of you lacks wisdom, now I resemble that remark, let him ask of God, not Google. Ask God, not Google. Ask God, who knows everything because He created everything. Ask God, who gives, doesn't hold back, who gives to him liberally, in other words, more than enough, plenty, and without any reproach on it, and it will be given to him. Now, just for the sake of time, and I'm just going to quote it, paraphrase it, but it goes on to say, but you got to ask in faith. believing that He is and He does. So you don't go to God and say, I need wisdom because of me. God, I need wisdom because of you in this situation. I need you to walk me through this. I need you to give me an understanding. I need you to give me peace. If I don't get an understanding, I need you to give me some peace until I get my understanding by faith. Does that make sense to you? Amen? Go ahead and put up the last note. Hang on. Without our excuses, we'll have to take responsibility and go to work. And that's the reason we have excuses left and right. I don't want to work on my marriage. I don't want to work at my job. I don't want to work at my calling. I don't want to work in the anointing. I don't want to have to do stuff to get behind the scenes. I just want to take the stage. I just want to get a check. Without excuses, what is your life going to look like? And some of you ain't got a clue. Because excuses have become your identity. And it's an identity of failure. And that's why you stay oppressed. And that's why you stay depressed. That's why you stay so frustrated. Because you're trying to compare yourself among yourself. So what's the answer of excuses? Stand to your feet for this scripture. We'll let you go here in just a moment. Romans chapter 1. One verse out of chapter 1, verse 20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Raise your hand if you've ever seen the earth and the sky. And through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible quality. Say amen to that. They can see His, God Almighty's, eternal power and divine nature. Can you believe that? So they have no. No what? If you've got eyes, you have no excuse for saying there's no God. Word of God just declared it. Let me read that to you again. You see all of God's divine nature, so that way you have no excuse for not knowing God. So if there's, let me just ask you this. Based on the scripture, is there any excuse that will stand up for not knowing God? Anybody want to say yes to that? Raise your hand. I got you, didn't I, brother? We all know that because the Bible says so. No excuse for knowing God. So if there's no excuse for knowing God and we know God, then why do we give God excuses? Why do we have so many excuses about our life He's getting us through? Well, bad things have happened and are happening right now. You live in a fallen world. And you can either choose to have an excuse to act like the rest of the world, or you can choose the truth and go through it with God's grace, mercy, and power and anointing and go through it. And come out on the other side of your test and have a testimony. Not go... Okay. I love you. Every one of you. No matter where you're at. But when you go through things and you turn to a pill before you do the gospel, you need a pill, all right. It's called the gospel. Yes. This is your comfort. This is your hope. This is your healer. This is your grace. This is your mercy. This is where the peace that passes all understanding at. It doesn't come out of a bottle. It comes between the pages. Pour yourself into God. Pour yourself into the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop having your mealy mouth excuses. Get to work. Get applied. Get responsible and go with God. You'll be amazed at what He'll produce in your life, your marriage, your family, your work, your church, your lifestyle, everything about you. So here's the challenge going in and forward this week. See if you can catch every time you have an excuse. Ask the Holy Spirit to put a little wiggity diggity diggity. Come on, everybody go, wiggity-diggity-diggity. Y'all did that very well. I don't even know why I did that. But I hope God puts that on you and you go, well, I'd like to, but I got to go. Wait a minute. I can. Can you solve this problem? Man, I just don't know how that's going. Wait a minute. We can press in and pray and God will give us an answer. I'm telling you, this will wreck your life. and it'll wreck your false identity. And it'll wreck your excuses. Bow your heads. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ, it's time to do it today. No more excuses today. I'm not good enough. I've got a bad past. He already knows. And he knows one thing, that you can't pay for it yourself, that the only way your chance of going to heaven and being redeemed in the earth is through the blood of Jesus. And we offer that. That's what we're offering you today, is your salvation to Jesus Christ, not to us, not to religion. And you will not join a church today. But what you'll do is you'll surrender your life with no more excuses. I know I can't live a Christian life. You don't know till you try. And if you want to, you can without excuses. So if that's you this morning, not going to draw it out, lift your hand right now and say, today's my day. I need to get born again. I need to surrender my life. Anybody in here? No more excuses. Right over here? Absolutely, right there. Yeah! No more excuses. Thank you, Jesus. Celebrate. Yes, Lord. Anybody else? Real quickly, throw that hand up if you need this today. Right here? Yeah, come on, right there. Yeah! Woo! I'm telling you, God never made an excuse. Anybody else? I'll hang on a few more minutes. Anybody else? Maybe if you're online, drop your excuses and drop us a line telling us you dropped it. We'd love to pray for you, communicate with you. All right, real quickly, for those that raised their hand this morning, we all gonna pray this as family. Well, I'm already saved. I'll pray it every time. Come on, let's pray this with our new brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. Say, Father, here I am. No excuses. I lay them at your feet. I cannot save myself on my best day. Only you, through your blood, death, burial, resurrection, can offer me salvation. So I ask you, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean today. Make me that new creature in Christ Jesus. I thank you right now, Father. I renounce my past and I receive your salvation. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He lived, he died, and he rose so that I could have this moment right now. And I surrender my whole life to you, Jesus, to live the rest of my life as your beloved child. Thank you, Jesus. I am now a child of God. In Jesus' name, nobody can ever take it away from me. Come on, say that with me. Nobody and nothing can ever take it away from me. I am saved by Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, give him glory in this house. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.